Over the last now month or so, or 2 months, we've been contemplating how to become greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We have looked at what the Lord said, he who would be first should be servant of all and slave of all. And in different ways and in different manners, we have tried to drive home in all relationships the importance of this command. This morning, I want to kind of encapsulate everything that we've covered up to this point with one essential thought, and that is many commands in the scriptures require a mutual participation. In other words, if one side does not put in the same effort as the other side, it becomes wrong, it becomes a sin. In English, we call this a reciprocal. You remember back in math? In math, we would have reciprocals. It would be like 1/4, which equals 25%. And so this person is putting in 100%, and this person is only putting in 25%. And in this situation, we wouldn't have reciprocity. It won't be reciprocal. And of course, this is what happens in a choir. When you have a choir in the church, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. That means you sing to me, I sing to you. We're both singing. In other words, instead of 1/4, we have 4/4, which equals 100%. I thought of this after I got here, so I had to put it on the board. I should have made a slide for it. I will next time. Let's look at this on a chart. We have a person here. We have a person here. And we have a relationship and a relationship in this particular command. I'm singing to you. You're singing to me. Now, if we're not doing that, then we're not worshiping God in spirit and truth. And we all know that. We've all talked about this for years, although I wonder sometimes if we've really made the application that I should be singing in such a way that I am singing to you. When a mother sings to her baby, her voice changes. Her response is different because she's trying to convey something to her child. When we speak to different people, that's what happens. If we're angry, then we speak one to another with an angry voice. If we love one another, we speak to one another with a loving voice. So, how do we do that in our singing? I've wrestled with this for years. I know we're supposed to do it. Does this mean that we should be... I know that the songwriters, they try to get it across to us by putting those little letters up there, which all the song leaders know. I've never known what they are. I just sing louder here and lower here and slower here. But he's trying to convey not just the speed of the song, but how we're supposed to sing one to another. And as I say, we try to wrestle. This is what you call working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How do we sing to one another? We're making melody in our hearts to the Lord, but after we've mastered that, or even if we have not yet mastered that, we need to be singing in such a way, all of us, you're singing to me, I'm singing to you, and we all understand that. And there's a lot of commands like that. Many commands in Scripture require 100%. I'm in it 100%, you're in it 100%. Sadly, in many churches, we have this kind of a situation where half the church is giving the 4%, the other half is giving the 1, or we might move it out to 1/10, or 1/20, or 1/30, because some people give less and less and less. And when we bring this into the marriage relationship, when one person is frustrated and angry, and the other person is still trying to put in 100%, this is what you'll get. And oftentimes, a marriage counselor is going to have to work with that. You're giving everything, but this person is not reciprocating. They're not giving the same amount. That's what reciprocating means. It means that we're going to put it to 4/4. It doesn't always happen that way, but that's what our goal is. That's what the responsibility is. So when we speak of speaking one to another, and one of the reasons I brought this verse in is because of its proximity to the passage we've been dealing with so much. Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Then, a verse later, submitting to one another. Same grammar, same basic concept. In the same way that I sing to you and you sing to me, I submit to you and you submit to me. Now, as you look at that, what does that mean? What does that mean to us? How do I submit to you? How do you submit to me? Well, it differs. It differs on the relationship. If we're husband and wife, we're parent-child, if we are in a situation of a worker and his employer, if we are friends, if we are elder member, deacon, elder, there's different relationships, but we all serve one another. So you submit, and I submit. You submit to me, and I submit to you. That's what the verse is saying, and the verse is out of a context here. I know he's going to move it into a context of husband, wife, parent, child, servant, master. But before he gets to that, as I say, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we know what the context of that is. That's all of us. And so when he moves from that to the next passage, without any real change, submitting to one another is the same as speaking to one another. So once again, we bring up our little chart, and you submit to me, and I submit to you. Now, if I'm giving 100% and you're giving 100%, we have a pretty good relationship. If I'm giving 100% like Jesus does, well, let me rephrase that. I never like to put myself in the better position. If you're giving 100% like Jesus and I'm giving 10% like a worldly person, remember that song we sang, "Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be," when I proudly said to Jesus, "All of self and none of thee"? Well, there we have what? 0/100. And not only is it given to the Lord, it's given to one another. Then, as we move along in time, slowly, some of self, less of self, none of self. So what do we go from? Let's say 0 to 25 to 50 to 100%. Well, that's our marriage. That's our workplace. That's our hospitality, as Peter's going to bring out in just a minute. We are to give hospitality one to another. In other words, this just crosses all sorts of boundaries. So when it says, "Whosoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all," what the Lord is saying there is that we're always wanting to give 100%. Want to turn the other cheek, 100%. Want to go the second mile, 100%. I want to consider your needs, 100%. And so I seek to be your servant. And you can see I didn't finish that right, but it should be. And you seek to be my servant. So if the greatest seeks to be a servant and slave of all, this is what we're going to see. Now, where would you put yourself? Let's put a couple of more reciprocals up here. Let's say 1/10, which equals 10%. And then 1/4, which equals 25%. And then maybe we want to put 1/100 here, which would equal 1%. We all started Christianity at a different level. Some of us were much more giving than others. Some people are more selfish than others. Relationships and marriages, I've watched them shift with different people through the years. They start out 100%, 100%, but then over time, one person is more rude and more obnoxious, more frustrating, more difficult, and so the other party, 90%, 80%. We usually don't find out about it till it's at 50 or 40%, and then at that point, the marriage is starting to rock and shake. And if it gets to one party's giving 1% and the other person's giving 100%, we're probably going to end up with a separation or a divorce or certainly a very unhappy life. So, reciprocity or reciprocal means mutual effort. I want to be your slave. You want to be my slave. Now let's forget about family relationships and work relationships, and let's talk about brother and sister relationships. Because that's what this verse is dealing with, and that's what Jesus, when he told his apostles, you want to be greatest in my kingdom? Peter, you serve the other 11. And you 11, you serve Peter. If you want to be first, Peter, you want to be the slave of all of these people. And then he said, even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served. So let's talk about that equation for a minute. Jesus is giving 100%. The rest of the world, even his disciples many times, about 1%, 2%. When Peter denied Jesus, what would you put that? When Judas betrayed Jesus, when the apostles were having their feet washed and having no interest whatsoever in washing anybody else's feet. So it's an interesting question, and I'm trying to put it in just a little way so we can make an assessment. In our marriage, in our workplace, does our boss give 100% and we give 5%? Do we give 100% and our boss only gives 5%? How do we feel about that? What kind of a relationship is that? So submitting one to another is exactly the same thing as in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So what does that mean? Well, you esteem me better and I esteem you better. Is that how we live? When we're in a conversation with someone, are we more interested in their needs and what they want and what and how to make them feel good and how to make them important and feel important? Or are we constantly just talking about us and interested in us and trying to show ourselves? Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with talking about ourselves. But where are we? Is it 4-4? Is it 100? Interesting question. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So once again, you look out for my interests, and I look out for your interests. Now, go home sometime, just take the directory out, and look over the people, and ask yourself, have I really ever even manifested any care or concern for this person? Are their interests important to me? Important enough that when it's announced at services that Vera's having some health problems or Virgil and Martha are going to be traveling, that we actually remember and pray for them? We have that much interest in them? Or do we, next Sunday, oh yeah, I was supposed to pray for that. Maybe we quickly bow our head and say, Father, I pray that you'll, because I committed myself to do it, but is it 100%? Is it 10%? Is it 0.25%? We have to quantify these things so we can understand where we're at. And I have to do it and you have to do it. I mean, in a sermon, I try to give 100%. What are you giving back? 5%? 10%? How much are you listening? How much applications are you trying to make? God said, take heed how you hear. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, for those who hear, more will be given. But for those who do not hear, whatever has been heard will be taken away. You minister to me, I minister to you. I kind of skipped over the verse. Let's look at the verse real quickly. As each one has received a gift. Every one of us here is good at something. And we could share it with one another. Just like my toe is better at keeping my body balanced than my thumb, but my thumb is much better in holding a hammer than my toe. So 100%, 5%, 100%, depending on the circumstances, each part of the body giving 100%. I don't always need 100% of whatever you have. I might not eat any. Maybe I'm healthy and strong and somebody else is weak. So I'm given 100%, they're given 5%. That's okay. As each one has received a gift, minister it. That's the Greek word deacon, by the way. So You are acting as a deacon. You're serving tables. You are like the waiter who is trying to make sure the customer's needs are met. But we cross all boundaries now, and that's how we treat every member of the church and even people who are not members of the church. So can we understand that reciprocity, 4-4 in most cases, 100%? If I, your teacher, have washed your feet, 100%. You ought to wash one another's feet, 100%. There's actually two reciprocals here. There's a reciprocal of Jesus washing their feet, and then there's a reciprocal of me washing your feet and you washing my feet. So if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, I gave 100%. You also ought to wash one another's feet, which means, and I don't have any more charge for a little while, but I wash your feet, you wash my feet. Well, what exactly does that mean? We don't wash feet in America because our feet don't get dirty. We're not walking around all day on dusty roads through vegetation so that when we come inside of a warm home, the feet start to really be uncomfortable. Back in those days, it's interesting that Paul even told Timothy that if a widow was to be taken into the role, she must have washed the saints' feet. Because in those days, that idiom kind of crossed all boundaries, kind of like today when we roll up our sleeves. We know what that means. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to go outside and work, although it could. I can roll up my sleeves without ever rolling up my sleeves. And so you can wash one another's feet without ever washing one another's feet. Because it's talking about needs and what we do with needs when somebody's sick and in the hospital. Remember what Jesus said? I was sick. You visited me. I needed 100%. You gave it. I was hungry. I was naked. I was in prison. 100%. Come, you blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But then he says, depart, you cursed, into the eternal fire. Why? Because I was hungry. You didn't reciprocate. I had a need. You didn't fulfill it. I was thirsty. I was naked. I was in prison. That's what this verse is talking about. You also ought to wash one another's feet. Here's another one. Another one another. I was thinking today I might do a one another sermon one of these days because I only picked out about maybe 5% of them. A new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus gave 100%. Here's a double equation again. You give 100% to the other Christian who's giving 100% like I gave 100%. You love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Now again, that's not just my love for you. It's your love for me. Or let's turn it around, because that's where we're the most sensitive. If you don't love me enough, I might get my feelings hurt. I came to the congregation, everybody ignored me today. Well, maybe they didn't ignore you. Maybe they were just busy helping other people who had needs and they were trying to give 100%. What about your 100%? If you're ignored, just accept that as a part of your service. Just like Jesus in front of the Jewish Sanhedrin. They didn't give 100%. They didn't give anything. Or Jesus before Pilate. Or Jesus before Herod and before the soldiers. And being mocked and scorned by the crowd. He gave 100%, 100%, 100%. They didn't give anything back. That's really hard. It's easy to reciprocate when you're pushing and they're pushing back and we just stay in the middle. But when you're pushing and they're doing nothing, pretty soon you're going, oh, wait a minute. This is uncomfortable. I'm not going to do this. And maybe we've reached that point. I mean, that this crosses all boundaries. Am I giving 100%? Or can I honestly say, I've talked to people at work before who have told me, you know, because my boss is this, this, and this, I'm holding back. He's not going to get 100% anymore. I'm going to give him 25% or 50%. Just enough so I don't get fired. I think we can all relate to that. Sometimes you're on the road giving 100%. In other words, you're working with people, they're working with you, and then suddenly somebody honks at you or somebody does something, you say, okay, you're not going to get 100%. Well, that's what this is all about. Be kindly affectionate to one another. I have affection for you, you have affection for me. Do we? Do we know each other well enough? When we get to Peter, Peter will say, give into hospitality. And hospitality doesn't always mean in your home. We have hospitality when we get together. After services sometimes, we go out to lunch. We spend a lot of time hospitably working with one another here at the building. This honor giving preference to one another reminds me of an old skit that Abbott and Costello did. You might remember them, you might not. But they were standing outside of the door, and one of them opened the door and said, after you. And the other guy shakes his head and says, no, I insist, after you. And they keep going back and forth, after you, until everybody's just laughing. But that's what this verse is talking about. I want to get you through the door. And I feel that I'm serving you because I don't really want to. I want to open the door for you. I don't really want you to open the door for me, but you ever thought about Jesus? I've thought about this a lot. He's in the home of a Pharisee and a harlot, a whore, a prostitute comes in and starts crying and dripping her tears on his feet, and when enough tears are on there, she takes her hair and she starts wiping his feet with her hair. Could you imagine how hard that would be to let somebody do that to you? And here's the Pharisee over here saying, wow, if he was the Son of God, he would know who was touching him, and he would be disgusted. Well, Jesus didn't see it that way. Jesus saw an ungodly woman repenting, and so like the angels in heaven, he's rejoicing. But he served her that day. And most of us couldn't do that. Most of us would not. We would say, what are you doing? Why are you dripping your tears on my feet? And why are you using your hair? Don't you know I'm ticklish? Don't be putting your hair on my feet. He served her. Giving preference to one another. You know, there's times when you irritate me. There's times when I irritate you. But we serve one another. We don't even let you know. We don't even let it out. We just give 100%. In honor, preferring one another. I like to give, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. But Rob gave me an answer one time, don't deny the giver. So he's saying, well, you got to serve me and let me give something to you. And depending on our makeup, if we're selfish, then we're really excited about giving 100% to the person who's giving. Maybe 1% involved in giving. But as we grow as a Christian, as that song says, the time finally comes, all of you and none of me. When that time comes, we don't like to receive. We like to give. It's easier to serve giving than it is to receive. And you can look at yourself like that, because I've noticed through the years, some people can't serve by receiving. They just can't. They won't let other people serve them, even if they have a need. No, I don't need any help. Well, like Rob said, you're denying the giver the opportunity, and you're keeping that person from being able to hear on the judgment day, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. No, I don't need it. I can handle it myself. Well, of course you can. But can't you serve other people by letting them serve you like Jesus did that woman? Owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And I could spend a lot of time on this, but we're about halfway through our slide, so I need to kick it up a little bit. Let's look at this next one, though. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ also forgave you. Now, here we have, if we had our little chart again, with me here and an arrow here and you here or an arrow here, I'm forgiving you, you're forgiving me. Sometimes it's a lot easier to forgive someone than it is to be forgiven. We carry it. We carry it. We can't give 100%. The guy said, I forgive you. But we still act like we're not forgiven. We're embarrassed. We don't like to be around them. Not because we're upset with them, we're just embarrassed. Well, why? Because you haven't been forgiven. You're not letting that person forgive you, and you're not moving on. That's what we have to do with God. 100%. We forgive. We accept forgiveness. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also do. Do you see how many reciprocals we have here? Bearing, forbearing with one another, putting up with each other. I couldn't believe it'd be possible, but some of you probably get kind of frustrated with me from time to time. And I get frustrated with some of you from time to time. But you've never really let me know it. Maybe one or two times that I've been here, I've sensed somebody's frustration. So you've given 100%. Either that or I'm perfect. I don't know. You can tell me later whether I'm perfect or whether you're just very forbearing. But the point I'm making is very simple. If I'm forbearing, unless there's a situation, because sometimes you have to rebuke. Sometimes you have to say, okay, I'm gonna let this person know that I'm frustrated. Now, if you do it by design, it's a little better than if you don't do it by design, but the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God, and you're playing with fire whenever you start showing your frustration with somebody. But we bear with one another, and we forgive one another. And if we have a complaint, just like Christ forgave you, you also must do. Are we starting to get the picture? I mean, this isn't just for the home, and it isn't just for the workplace. This is everywhere. And in every relationship, God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. My thumb has the same care for my toe. My little finger has the same care for my ear. The whole body stops. If I hit my little finger with a hammer or with my thumb with a hammer, everything else stops. If I break my arm, if I get a stomachache, if I get a cold or a flu, it's only affecting my nose and parts of the body, but everything stops because the members have the same care for one another. Is that what happens in the church? That's what's supposed to happen in the church. We're supposed to have everything stop. When Richard died, everything stopped. What can we do? Is there anything we can do? Well, for the most part, most of us would have to say, no, there's really nothing I can do. I don't know the family. They probably wouldn't appreciate visits. COVID, they wouldn't even let some of us go to the funeral like we wanted to. We wanted to serve, but we couldn't. But that's what I'm saying. When one of the members, and it was very different with Carl, everything stopped with Carl. We all were ready to serve. Members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So, once again, you care about me, I care about you. Where are we there? 1/10? 4/4? 1/100? I care about you, you care about me. You know, I didn't put it up here, but we could also have an equation. We can't do it. Well, I guess we could invert the equation. But the point is, I might be giving half and you might be giving half. I don't know how to put that on an equation because you can't do that. One's a whole and one's a portion of a whole. But if you're giving 50 and I'm giving 50, we have equality, but it's still not what the Lord wants. Same care. Suffer with. Rejoice with. Do we rejoice with one another or do we envy? When something good happens to somebody, are we rejoicing with them? This is so wonderful. I'm so happy. Or are we a little bit envious? A little bit jealous? You know, the Lord gave out gifts when we were born. I don't have any control over it. Some of us are better looking. Some of us are smarter. Some of us have a better personality. Some of us are all thumbs, and some of us are real able to fix almost anything. Like the body. Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is that what the foot should say? Because I can't do this, I'm not that. There shouldn't be any jealousy in the church. We should be glad if someone's better looking. Or we should be glad if somebody has something that we don't have. If we start feeling small, it means we're the number one over that 100, or we're the number one over that 10. We're small. And the person may never know it, but God does. And I'm not going to be considered. And it can go the other way around, too. Sometimes people who are better than other people look down on them and scorn them. They're small. Even though they can give 100%, because they don't have the same care, the Lord's going to say, you're too small. Above all things, have a fervent love one for another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. So let's look at that on the chart. I have my fervent love for you. You have a fervent love for me. 100%, 100%, 50-50. One person giving 100%, one giving 10%, 1%. That's what we need to go home and think about. Because that's what the judgment day is. We're going to be put on a scale. We're going to get weighed out. And if we're 1% or 10% or 25%, the Lord's going to say, depart, you cursed. I don't want that to happen. Now, I'm not talking about people who are just hearing this for the first time and now they're able to grow into it. I'm talking about people who know this and they refuse to do it. They're bitter. Because for years, the 100% they feel was them, and the 1% was the other side, and now they're going to reciprocate in the wrong way. I'm going to become the 1%. Fervent love, hospitality, and serving in every relationship. So many commands in the scripture require mutual participation, which means equal effort or reciprocal reciprocity. I'm pushing. Isometric exercises are reciprocity, 100%, 100%. If this gives 1%, then it goes like that. If this side gives 1%, it goes like that and hurts the shoulder. Well, we're not talking about, I'm just illustrating. Emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, this is critical. It's very, very important for us to consider. You submit to me, and I submit to you. Now, which relationships? Well, you've seen this slide before. I gave it a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but we submit one to another. Wives to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Slaves, be obedient. Masters, do the same to them. Position of service or leadership makes no difference. We're still to see ourselves as slaves of all. And so if I have authority over you, I use my authority to be a blessing. So that you never feel small or demeaned or lessened. You remember in the Old Testament, there were some Israelites who had become a servant to a master. But they loved the master so much, they said, I don't want to go free. And the Lord says, all right, take an awl and drive it through their ear into the door. And I'm thinking, boy, that'd be pretty rough. Put your ear up against the door and they drive a nail into it. Well, I sure hope they take it out. But there are servants who love their masters. There are some workplaces. A person wouldn't want to leave no matter what happened. So these are the verses we looked at a few weeks ago. I'm not even going to go through them again just to say wives submit, husbands love. But if we look at the chart, the husband's love is agape service. Agape, let's face it, brethren, agape love is a love of service. And so the Lord is saying every decision you have to make as a husband must be to serve your wife. You must make decisions that are not selfish, 100% for me, she gets 1%. She should be the other way around. Every time I make a decision, if I have to make a decision, I'll take the 1% and I'll give her 100%. If I can. Now, we can't always do that, but that's the goal. That's what agape love is. You say, well, that sounds a little too far to me. Well, think about what Jesus did. Jesus gave 100% as our Lord when we were giving zero. We weren't given anything. Remember Paul in Romans chapter 5? While we were enemies, while we were sinners, Christ died. Our Lord has shown what service, the service of the greater actually is. And that's what Paul says here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So if we can make every decision in the best interest of our wives in the same way that Jesus did the church, we're a good husband. And the wives are to submit. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, do you see that here the Lord is saying, if you give 100%, you'll get 100%. If you obey your parents in the Lord, it's right. You're righteous. That's what righteousness is. You've given 100%. That's what's fair. That's what your obligation is. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So if you give 100%, you're going to get 100%. That's the Lord's promise. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. A couple of questions here, and we're going to develop this in the next few weeks as we're going to talk about these verses. Why does he single out fathers? Can't mothers provoke their children to wrath? What is it about fathers? Secondly, how can a father provoke his child to wrath? We make our children upset every time we say no. Is that what he's talking about here? He's talking about unfairness. When a child screams, that's not fair, a father or mother better sit down and ponder, is that correct? Did I just do something unfair? And don't just say, you're wrong. No, we need to explain it to them. We don't provoke them to wrath. We need to explain it to them. This is fair, and here's why. We need to make sure. Now, if we get to the point where we've explained everything to them, we've given our 100%, but they're still only giving 1%, well, at that point, we start the discipline process. But fathers have a responsibility to serve their children. So, fathers, nurture, chasten, admonish, in fairness and righteousness, and children are obedient. So as we now finish our sermon, I don't think we missed anybody. I think that every one of us here has been shocked, because unless you're perfect, your conscience is saying, I need to work harder. None of you probably need to come forward, but let's not lose sight of this. We're going to lose our souls. This is the essence. Service is the essence of Christianity, and service is reciprocity. In other words, I'm always giving 100%. Now, I need to be at the bottom of all these equations. Regardless of what it is, I want to be the one giving 100%. I have control to do that. I don't have any control over you. You may only give 1%. That doesn't matter. I'm serving the Lord. Serving one another in the fear or respect or reverence or awe of Christ. I want to be like him. I'm going to give the 100% just like he did. But if I'm not giving 100%, I'm still a babe. I'm still immature. And I might not even be considered faithful by the Lord. And so as we pick up our songs of encouragement this morning and we ponder the ramifications of this sermon, as we go through our relationships, and we have hundreds of them, maybe thousands of them. Some of them are so minor that there's really nothing we can do. We're just acquaintances. Others are much more significant. Are we giving 100%? As we think about these things, we now have the opportunity to consider if there's anything we need to do right now. Maybe there's someone here who needs to obey the gospel. Maybe there's someone here who needs to come forward. If there's anyone here who needs to make a decision along those lines, We'd like to help you, and if you'll let us know while we stand and sing, we will do so.